Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Peace. I hate the word.
I got trust the funk. I got one leg and a bucket of chicken.
Gonna put a little cornstarch on my werewolf, man.
Luigi Mario.
Hello and welcome to Mission Zach's Leguizamarama mini episodes.
Love it.
Thank you. This podcast, we usually talk about a movie that John Leguizamo has done and then discuss it between ourselves. But we needed a break, so we're doing minis. And we decided that instead this time around, we're going to watch a couple of interviews that he might have done on YouTube, which means these are things that you guys can go and watch if you have access to the internet. My name is Mish Wittrup. You might know me from our last mini episode about Wendy Williams' show. Amazing. I'm joined, as always, by my friend Zach Ruane, who you might know from...
Well, you might know me from being the king of the podcast Cliffhanger.
Oh, it was good.
So in case you have missed, maybe this is the first time ever, maybe you're more of a Kelly Ripa fan and that's how you've come to our podcast.
And if so, hi.
Hi, welcome. Normally we do longer podcasts. We talk about full feature-length films or one pop pasta.
But this time we're talking about Kelly. And can we just say, if you are a Kelly Ripa fan, I get it. Charming.
She's charming. She's beautiful. She's fun.
Yeah, she's fun.
She's vivacious.
We get it.
But if you are just joining us, maybe check out last week's mini episode. It was a horny Mish, and just Zach talking about Wendy Williams and John Leguizamo and the sexual tension.
How funny would it be if this episode was us recapping our episode of Wendy Williams?
That's really funny. That is, I really want to do, if we ever do recaps again, I want to do one season where we recap. Someone said
a fan wrote in on a DM and was like, I think that the best thing that you guys could ever do is do a season two of recaps. We have another podcast called Recaps with Mission Zach. Check it out. Where you recap your episodes of Recaps with Mission Zach.
Which I love.
That's, now you're thinking like a Mission Zach.
Oh, no.
Now you're properly thinking like a Mission Zach.
Now you've got real Mission Zach thought there. Because what you need to do is you need to go, how can we find an audience? How can we grow? How can we be accessible, interesting, fun, and ready to open space for many people to come on board?
Yeah.
Then you need to just pick one or two of them and ignore the rest.
100%. That's it.
It's not bad podcast.
Basically, in order to create a podcast like Mission Zach, what you have to do is get a concept in your head that's a bit fucked, and go, oh, that's so funny. Don't think about it any further. Just make the podcast.
Yeah.
And then as you're making it, you'll realize how fucking stupid you were.
And then after about a year of doing the podcast, you'll start to realize, all right, what is this podcast? How can we sell this? How does this work? And just as it starts to become something that has a air of professionalism, get bored with it, move on to the next fucked thing.
Exact. Perfect. And then now you're working like a Mission Zach.
Now you're working like a Mission Zach. You got to take meetings with people telling you how good Recaps is and when's the next season. And you go, no. Now we're going to watch John Leguizamo films. And they'll go, who? And you'll go, all right, bye. So last week we did a bit of a cliffhanger. We've been developing a bit of a theory that there are stages in the Leguizamo canon. There are stages in the Leguizamo life cycle. We are currently in the longest known Leguizamo life cycle, that of the Dad Guizamo. It's been going since around the mid-2000s.
Yes.
So basically the way it works was there was Baby Legs,
Baby Legs, we're talking Miami Vice.
We're talking Miami Vice.
We're talking Die Hard 2.
Die Hard 2, you know, his teeth don't quite fit with his face. He's got a certain, he's cute, but not attractive.
Every blazer he puts on looks too big. Mm. It looks like he's wearing a school blazer that your mum buys you to last you 3 years.
Absolutely.
That's what he looks like.
It doesn't feel right.
Yeah. Thus the name Baby Legs.
He then went into another phase. We've talked about this a lot. This is the sexy Luigi phase.
This is arguably Misha's favourite phase.
Now, the sexy Luigi phase is, although it's known as sexy Luigi, because it was named after the fact, a lot of people originally theorised that it started with Luigi.
Yes.
We've since realised that it's a bit of a misnomer because it actually starts, at least as far as we can tell, as early as him playing the serial killer in the sexy thriller.
Yes.
He was sexy Luigi.
Which I believe was 1992. Whispers in the Dark, 1992.
So 92, 93. So sexy Luigi spans at least like 92, maybe a touch earlier, through Luigi into there's a bit of vagueness about when that ends. Then around 2005, again, still a bit of vagueness, we get Dad Guzamo. This is between maybe 05... To 2010, somewhere in that window.
Well, but what's 2020 then?
No, sorry, that's when it starts.
Oh, when it starts.
We don't exactly know. Dad Guzamo has been going now. It's the longest phase.
Yes.
It's at least 15 years.
Yes.
Maybe at least 10 years.
Which makes sense because I think he had his kids around about that time.
He did. We watched an interview. Yeah. I don't know if it's one of the interviews we discussed.
And it seems like he almost switched out his tight-fitting black tank tops for sweater vests.
So what I am proposing is,
and
I
sport
think
coats.
There was a lot of talk. Is what happened? Where? What happened between sexy Luigi and Dad Guzamo? We're still forming it. I want to posit.
Okay.
I want to posit. I don't exactly know where this falls.
Okay.
But I believe that, and some people would argue that this is just a continuation of sexy Luigi. I believe there is another age of Leguizamo that we haven't quite nailed yet.
Okay.
I don't know what it's called. Maybe we'd call it Leguabasmo.
Leguabasmo.
Leguabasmo. Maybe we call it Hollywood Legs. This is the Baz Luhrmann era of John Leguizamo. The tight tank tee, the zero body fat. This is the precipice, not of sexy Luigi, not of sexy side guy, not of, all right, this guy's got something here. This is the precipice of, is this guy Hollywood heartthrob? It's the heartthrob Luigi, the heartthrob legs. It's a period of perfection,
okay.
A period of precision.
Yeah.
It's a period of a type of sexiness. Sexy Luigi, there's a bad boy. There's a kind of a, what's going on here? This guy's a little bit naughty, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe he's a phase for a girl from Beverly Hills. You know, he's a bit rough around the edges.
Yep.
He then becomes Dad Guzamo. I think in the middle is when he is Hollywood heartthrob.
So like Leguizollywood.
Leguizollywood.
Woo, I did it.
You did it. You did it. I was going to say like a Hollywood I think Leguizollywood.
Leguizollywood.
Legwood. Leguizollywood.
Leguizollywood.
Yeah, I like Leguizollywood.
Okay, so this is like a...
It's a working title for now because it's still a working definition.
So
it's a vague...
I think that this is a... If you were correct in this, and I'm not going to say you're incorrect...
Because I think you could very well argue this is still sexy Luigi.
Yeah, it's almost like a little subset of sexy Luigi.
Yeah, it's the next...
Because I would say, even though we haven't done an episode yet on Romeo and Juliet, I'd say that's very much sexy Luigi.
You know what? It's an interview we decided not to cover because we're currently doing interviews, right?
Yes.
There was an interview around 99 where he was promoting Summer of Sam where he wore a tight tank.
Yeah.
On the comedy channel, the comedy Central show.
With Jon Stewart.
With Jon Stewart. I can't remember the name of it. Daily Show. And he's wearing this tight tank, and I'm like, this isn't Sexy Luigi. Sexy Luigi is like, has a rawness to him, a roughness to him.
Oh, see, I reckon
Sexy Luigi is a little bit bad boy. And
you didn't think black tank top with Jon Stewart talking about losing his virginity wasn't bad boy?
It's bad boy, but it's like, but it's like,
but he's shaken Baz Luhrmann's hand.
You know, this is, there's the touch of Baz. There's the, you know, there's the
taste of Hollywood.
A taste of Hollywood. There's a touch of twink.
Yeah.
I would say also
that Luigi, there's a touch of twink.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. No
I'd be far to say that Sexy Luigi's a gay icon.
Absolutely.
Because we're talking Tu Wong Fu as well. Gay icon. 100%. Chi Chi Rodriguez, gay icon.
But there's a certain clunkiness, a certain, where is this going? A certain, he's still more New York than Hollywood. And I think when he steps out of that car in Romeo and Juliet, that's no longer Sexy Luigi. That is a diamond sharp, perfect specimen.
What I'm willing to say is I agree with you completely. Mm-hmm. I think that there is a Leguizolliwood era in Leguizamo's life. However, I would say there are still three main. You haven't convinced me of a main one. And just this little tiny moment, this weird bridge between Sexy Luigi and Dad Guizamo, where he'd had a taste for the Hollywood.
Look.
You know that tank top was no longer from Walmart.
Yeah, no, yeah.
You know absolutely. What I mean? Like that crisp, black, tight tank top that he wore.
We're talking zero body fat here.
Zero body fat.
We're talking
you
zero.
You know that not only, firstly, he didn't purchase that. Someone bought that for him.
Mm-hmm.
And you know it's brand.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Look, maybe Leguizolliwood is a subset of Sexy Luigi.
Let us know what you think.
Let us know what you think. Also, we are yet to watch many movies in that period.
Yeah.
So we're still defining that period. Mm. We're confident in Sexy Luigi. We're confident in Dad Guizamo. We're still defining the middle period.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Awesome.
Shall I do the
anyway, blur? Sorry, if you're a Kelly Ripa fan and you tuned out for a bit, you can jump back on now. We're about to talk about Kelly Ripa.
We know you're here for Kelly Ripa.
Yeah. But also let us know what you think. Do you think
I'm really proud of this theory. I think it's not right yet, but I think there's something there of what that period is.
I fucking hope there are two or three of middle-aged women in America that are Kelly Ripa fans that now jump in our DMs. No, I agree with you. No, you're right,
though. I don't think that's how podcasts work. I don't think people go, I want to find one podcast.
Oh, I'm going to tag Kelly Ripa in this. You better believe it.
Well, no shit talking Kelly Ripa then.
No, we love Kelly Ripa.
All right. She's not going to listen.
Kelly, we love you, girl.
Today we're talking about the YouTube clip Kelly and John Leguizamo's teenage daughters are exactly alike on the YouTube channel Live Kelly and Ryan. In this clip, pulled from a chilled-out, freewheeling live interview with Kelly Ripa, John talks about the struggles of raising a teenage daughter. Some of those struggles include the fact that it takes her a long time to get ready, that she lacks the ordered thinking that develops in adulthood, and that she often skips breakfast. In a surprising twist, Kelly explains that she struggles with similar issues, not just with her own children, but herself. The clip clocks in at 1 minute 56 seconds and has a total of 86,000 views at time of recording. John seems relaxed on the interview, and the more chill atmosphere of morning television suiting his vibe better than the sharp, high-pressure nature of late-night interviews.
Very good. Oh, we've won back all those Kelly Ripa fans with that. That's good.
It's so, literally longer than the clip.
So this is clear, very clear, Dad Guizamo.
This is, well, he's talking about his teenage daughters.
But it also looks like he was co-hosting this day or something. Like, Ryan wasn't there. Ryan's probably doing American Idol shit.
Ryan, who cares about
who cares
Ryan?
About Ryan?
We're all about Kelly here.
We love, yeah. Yeah, when I'm not tagging Ryan in this. This is, we're all about Kelly Ripa. But it looks like John Leguizamo did a stint co-hosting or something.
Is that what you think? I think he's there to promote something.
But he's sitting with her, like...
That's how they do it, don't they? Like, it's a bit of a panel. I've never watched Kelly and Ryan in my
neither
life.
Neither have I. I have watched Kelly and that other guy.
Oh, right, okay.
Is he dead or cancelled?
I don't know. Oh,
there's,
who?
There's an old guy that used to work with Kelly Ripa, and I think he's dead. I don't think he's... I think he's dead.
Oh, okay.
He's dead. And if he's not dead, he's cancelled, and in which case, he's dead to us.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Anyway.
some big things to throw around.
I'm so sorry, Tom, timestamp that. No, I don't care. This is like full-blown Dad Guizamo.
Mm.
What was I saying before I got thrown? Oh, yeah, that's right. I haven't watched this show either, but I got the vibe that he got a little bit of a stint co-hosting, maybe just for the episode, probably to promote something. But what was so amazing about this clip...
Such a good clip.
...is what was he promoting?
It's a short clip. You know, the intro to John is not in this clip. The ending, you know, what are you promoting, is not in this clip. This is one... 2-minute clip in, I think, was at least a 7-minute interview.
There is something I really do want to discuss about this clip, though.
Please.
Throughout this clip, he's playing with an A4 piece of paper. Which
is he?
Yes, which is another one of the reasons why I think he was co-hosting, because it looked like it was notes or something.
Mm.
And as they're talking, he keeps bending it in half and then going to actually crease it, so to fold the piece of paper in half, but then lets it go and it's a full piece of paper again. And then right at the end, he folds it. And he's been playing with folding of it and getting it perfectly, like, centered and stuff. Then right at the end, as he's talking, he creases it, and it's an off crease. And he doesn't fold it in half. And I felt for him.
Yeah, it's a bit rough.
Just check it out if you don't know what I'm talking about.
Check out the video. We recommend it. There's one point where Kelly talks about skipping breakfast, and he says, oh, I understand, because you're so busy doing your hair, getting your clothes together, you don't have time to have breakfast. And there's a real understanding there. I see in that moment, you know, John, he plays up the masculinity sometimes. He plays up the fact that he's a, you know. But we see in this moment, and also in the Wendy Williams interview when he talks about his wife, and I think the respect, she's a primary caregiver, she's a homekeeper. The respect he shows for her and her role within their relationship.
Yep, that's very clear too.
Is very clear. And I think I see in this moment, you know, John has a sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's aware of his daughter's needs in a way that a lot of fathers aren't.
Absolutely. Like, very clearly he sees his daughter each morning. They have chats.
He goes, I wish you would have something for breakfast, but he understands the reason why she's not having breakfast.
Absolutely. And if we're linking it back to the Wendy Williams episode, he says very clearly at one point, like, women, and he says it very sincerely, he's not bullshitting, women are usually right. Women are usually right.
Like, there's a tone of, like, you know,
But like, you can see, you link it with the Kelly Ripa. There's a clear respect and understanding of women. And even if there isn't an understanding, it is a very clear observation of respect for... He likes Kelly.
He likes Kelly, he likes Wendy, and he loves his wife. I think, you know, maybe on some of the blokier interviews which I saw in my research, he can play up for the boys as well. Mm. I mean, he's an older guy. You see in some of his one-man shows, he's had to be able to talk up to the guys, you know. He hasn't had the easiest life. He needs to be able to talk shop or,
become,
you know,
a lad. Be a bit of a lad.
But I think deep down, he's a good guy. Yeah. I also think he's grown a lot. The older he gets, the more sensitive he is. I think children have really changed him for the better, in my opinion, based on this 2-minute clip.
Yeah. I will say, like, that for me, as a female, so it's a bit of a challenge out there for your Johnny Legs. As a female, I never sacrificed food for my face. Like, he suggested that, you know, a lot of girls growing up, like, they take too long to do their makeup and therefore choose to not eat breakfast.
Now, I'm not saying he's saying that that's right or that that's what they should. I think that's just something he's observed about his daughter.
Yeah, but he did do a generalised statement about women.
Okay, well then, John...
Which is fine. No, I'm not going to get mad. It's just you don't understand. Listen to what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say that, yes, there are a lot... I feel like your daughter has a lot of society, like pressure from society on her to make her face look a certain way before school. And that sucks. But that's not your daughter's fault.
But maybe send her on her way with a breakfast biscuit.
Yeah. You can get really good Nutri-Grain bars now. Muesli bar. Just a little muesli bar. You know? An up and go.
An up and go.
They're delicious.
And so concludes our second mini episode of January. Mish, thank you so much.
Just let us know. Slip into our DMs if you want. Let us know. What's your breakfast on the go choice?
Let us know. Maybe do a post. Hashtag... My breakfast choice went on the go.
On the Leguizago.
On the Leguizago.
Yeah, breakfast on the Leguizago.
Write this down, Mish. It's good for the Mish and Zach Instagram.
Okay,
all this
okay.
stuff.
Shit,
no, I'm
shit.
Just playing. We're chilling over the hollies. but thank you so much for tuning in, everyone. And we'll see you next week for another mini episode.
I hope it's a real ripper for you.
That would have been better last week.
Yeah.
Like as a hint.
Oh, do we need to hint anything for the next episode?
It's Seth Meyers. It's about him. Philadelphia. Super. Hey, I think next interview, next mini episode, you're going to have a super time.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. See you next week, everybody.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.